Well, I love that song. What a powerful message. And the longer our life is, I think the more we see God's hand working in our life. So, Brother Rolf, come ahead, and we'll turn the service over to you. We got a DVD to show us, I think, and go to about 10 after or so. That sure. Give you some time there. And just remember, whenever you're done, we eat. So that's just whatever that
is. No, it's good to have you here.
Thank you
us.
So much.
It's so good.
Got three Bibles, point one, point two, point three. I should be finished about 10 after, amen. Well, it's good to be here. My name is David Rolf. This is my wife, Shauna. And we've been working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry for 21 years. And so we're real thankful for that. And, of course, I was brought up right below Eastside High School there in Taylor's. And I was actually raised Catholic. My mother, her parents was from Lebanon. And so Beirut, Lebanon, they moved, and they came to Greenville, and my mother was born there in Greenville, and of course she met my dad, and then of course I was raised there in Taylor's, and we went to St. Mary's Catholic Church, and then we went to Prince of Peace Catholic Church, and in my message I'm going to tell you how I got saved. So I thank the Lord for that. But we were brought up in this area, and I'm glad I got saved July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night at 9 p.m. And then someone introduced me to Tabernacle Baptist Church. I met Brother Paul and Paul Redmond and his family. We've known them since the early 80s, so we really appreciate Brother Paul. It's been a real blessing. His family, remember his dad and mom, they're just a tremendous blessing. And Brother W. Woods, we were buddies. That was your granddad. And him and I, we visited a lot there at Tabernacle, Brother W. Woods, and then at Freedom. So I was at his house many a times. And I was thinking about this real quickly. Brother Woods could make the best meal, chicken and rice. And I said, what's your recipe with your rice? It's the best rice I've ever eaten. He said, a lot of salt and pepper and a whole stick of butter. I said, oh, that's great, man. I like it. But anyway, I've been working with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry for 21 years. We're out of Tabernacle Baptist Church. And with Rock of Ages has been around about 44 years. And with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, started as a prison ministry, but we've got a lot of ministries now in the last 44 years. So I am the North America field representative, so we cross country a lot, and we work with mostly chaplains and revival teams, and also with the juveniles, and then military bases. And when I was basically over South Carolina for about 10 years, we traveled from one prison to another right here in South Carolina. And we would actually go to a meeting, and we'll have a three-day revival meeting. We'll visit during the day, right there in the pods, out there on the yard, and then also in the lockup unit. And then we'd preach services every night. And so we did that. And then we also would work DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice. And they're in Columbia, South Carolina. You got a lot of prisons there. You got Department of Juvenile Justice there. And every summer we do a vacation Bible school there. And so we had a really good time there. And then we have what we call the Character Under Construction, a prison prevention program that we can take to the public schools. And so it's basically on character. And there's a what we call a non-religious part of it. All we do is we actually use verses. We just take the text out of it. And so we'd use a lot of Proverbs. We just didn't have Proverbs. And so anyway, it worked out really good. And that would give us an opportunity. They'll let us come back at a Bible club and actually be able to preach there in Bible club, give out Bibles, and then give out gospel tracts. So the Lord's really used the prison prevention program and then the juvenile and then the revival teams. Then we have men that are actually placed in a particular prison as a chaplain. They're there all the time. And so anyway, it's got just a tremendous ministry. We're across, of course, in other countries, across the seas, and we're in women's prisons. We have a large print shop, and if you'll look at my table at the end there, there's a lot of gospel tracts that we use, discipleship material that we use, and so we got a tremendous amount of material that we hand out. And we got a large print shop in our home office. Of course, that's all in Cleveland, Tennessee. And so we have a tremendous opportunity there to be able to preach the gospel to the prisoners, but also public schools, juvenile detention centers, then also the military. Now, we, a few years ago, 2006, if you remember the old Pilgrim Bible, have you ever remember the old Pilgrim Bible. It's King James, but it's got the Pilgrim notes in it. Anyway, we were able to get that old Pilgrim Bible and reestablish it and put some notes in there. Now, a prisoner, they don't always have commentaries. They don't always have discipleship material. So we come up with a Rock of Ages study Bible that's got a lot of notes in there. And so this is basically what we give to the prisoner, and free of charge. It doesn't cost them anything. But to help us do that, we do take up offerings at times or ask churches to, you know, support the Bible fund. I have a Bible fund that we use for Bibles just for the inmates. But also we have what we call the Rock of Ages Study Bible. But this right here is calfskin. It's leather. And I like leather. It smells good. It feels good. I just like it. And so anyway, this is $80, but it gives us an opportunity to put two of these in a prison. So we have some back there. If you don't have $80, we've got one for $45. And then we also got a New Testament Bible, too, for $25. So if you're interested in that, then we'd love to show you that after the service. Let me give you a quick update. Then we're gonna go ahead and go into our message. And then after we finish, we'll show the DVD. And so I'm going to talk real fast in just a few minutes. And so we were able to, and I know the last year with this COVID-19 has really shut down the institutions. We're not able to get in. But they have allowed us to come there on the parking lot, have a FM translator, be able to preach there in your car, and they can actually listen to you on an FM station. So the Lord's allow us to be able to do that. Also, in some institutions, not all of them, but some institutions, they'll let us stand right there at the fence. They'll let the men come out or the ladies come out, and we'll be able to preach to them that way. Also, we have what we call the Prisoner's Bible Institute. And after a person gets saved, we put them on a Prisoner's Bible Institute. It's a two-year correspondence course through the mail. Doesn't cost them anything, but they can actually do a Bible study. How many of you believe in evangelizing? How many of you believe after you evangelize, you need a disciple? Well, that's what the Prisoner's Bible Institute does. So that's really increased a lot since this COVID-19. So let me share this with you real quick. In the month of February, we were able to go to Montgomery, Alabama. And for 12 years, we've been able to go to 10 different institutions, usually visit during the day, preach at night for 4 days there. And we do homeless, and we also do an apartment complex projects, and we're able to preach there. Well, this year, they just made us stay on the outside of the fence there in an institution. We also were able to do some FM radio, of course, and we were able to go to the homeless and everything. So there's about 50 of us, and we were able to reach during that week 1,397 people that we know about. And we were able to give out 1,500 bags, which has got a New Testament Bible just designed for the officers and administration. We gave out 1,500 of those to the institutions just for officers and for those that work on staff. And then we was able to see 49 people call on God in repentance and faith. So I thank the Lord for that. So we had 49 saved. So I praise the Lord for that. If one got saved, it'd be a blessing. But thank God for the 49. Now I'd like you, if you would, to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 3. And then I'm going to share my burden concerning the prison work. And then also share my testimony too. And so I'm looking forward to be able to do that. If you'd like to have a prayer card, we have some there on the table, so we'd love to be able to give those to you. If you'd pray for us, we'd really appreciate that. If you're able to, we'd like for you to stand. We'll read God's Word, verses 1, verse 2, verse 3, Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, "Let brotherly love continue." Verse 2, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Verse 3 says, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourself also in the body." Verse 3 again says, "Remember them that are in bonds." Let's pray. Father, I appreciate this dear pastor, Brother John, and his wife and family. I appreciate this church. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. I appreciate their burden for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. I appreciate their burden for the community right here across the United States and around the world. I appreciate this church. Thank God for it. And I just pray you might use this church in the days ahead as they evangelize and reach lost people for Christ. I do pray that you'll guide and direct concerning prison work. We thank God for the prisoner. I know many are in prison, but they do need God, and I'm glad that you love the prisoner. You love every person, and thank God for that. So I pray you'll just give us guidance, give us direction, give us wisdom, help us to do your will and honor your name. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to exalt your name tonight, and thank you for a church that loves God, and I thank you for an opportunity to be able to love the Lord in all that we do. And we'll give you the praise now because you're worthy in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever heard of this? God is good all the time. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Have you ever heard that? Okay. Well, we do that in prison. Now, I'm not saying you look like some of the prisoners that I've met. I'm not saying that at all, but I think we ought to do that. But you got to do it loud, okay? You got to do it loud. So I'm going to say God is good. You're going to say all the time. God is good all the time. They're going to say all the time. You're going to say God is good, okay? But you got to do it loud. Now, how many young people can speak loud? Come on. Well, I know you can. Let's do it together, okay? God is good.
All the time.
God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
He's worthy. Amen?
Amen.
I think y'all ready to go to prison. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. I want you to look at verse 3. It says, remember them that are in bonds. I like to preach a message entitled, Things to Remember. Things to Remember. I thought about this. You know, no matter where you are in your spiritual life, we still need to remember where God brought us from. Where God brought us from. I thought about my own testimony. I mentioned I was brought up Catholic. I remember in 1979, and thank God for a gospel track, but I was working with a young fella named Keith Johnson, and at work, he gave me a simple plan of salvation gospel track. And I remember reading that gospel track, and I put it on my dresser. As time went on, I picked up that gospel track, and I began to read it again, and I put it down. But God, the Holy Spirit, started wooing me and drawing me and convicting me and dealing with my heart just because I read the scriptures. So after that, I remember going to my mother. My mother and I are real close. My dad left us when I was 12 years old, and me and Mom were just close. And by the way, there were 7 of us children. I'll share that in just a minute. But I talked to my mother. I said, Mother, I said, I've got a good job. I'm living out on my own. I got a brand new car. I go to church, got a good family. Everything a young man desires, I feel like I have that. But there's something missing in my life, and I'm not sure what it is. But I think it's got to do with God. She said, well, maybe you ought to talk to the priest. So I called him up, and we had an opportunity to talk to him and basically told him the same things. I won't repeat that, but I told him the same things. He said, maybe you ought to get more involved in the church. So I did. So for about a year and a half, I started doing a Bible study with the priest on Wednesday. They actually started a charismatic-type meeting. On Thursday, I went to that. They started these Renew programs, and those that are Catholic in your neighborhood, right there in Cunningham Acres is where I live, right below Eastside High School, we had several that would come together that were Catholic, and they would read the Bible, but there's no priest there, so we had all kind of questions. Thank God for the Word, amen? So anyway, as time went on, I just didn't have peace of mind. I didn't have peace of heart. I wasn't out in the world like drugs or alcohol or anything like that, but I was one troubled young man, and I was in my sin. Finally, I was working at Piedmont Engineers. I used to be a draftsman. And there's a fellow started working there named Frank Jones. Now, Frank Jones and I went to high school together. We graduated, but I hadn't seen Frank in 3 years. And during that time, he got saved, but I didn't know it. So he started working at Piedmont Engineers after I did. And he come in one day on a Monday, and I recognized who he was. I come up to him, I shook his hand. I said, Frank, how you doing? He said, fine. I said, what you been up to? And all he said was, he said, Jesus. I said, what are you talking about? Because it didn't sound like he just knew about Jesus. It sounded like he knew Jesus. I said, what are you talking about, Frank? He said, let me go home with you and I'll show you. So he come home with me on a Tuesday night, July the 7th, 1981, on a Tuesday night. And he opened up his Bible and he said, David, basically you need to realize you're a sinner. And I knew I was. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, because you are a sinner, you owe something. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, if you die in your sins, you're going to be judged for your sins. That's one place I didn't want to go, and that's a place called hell. He said, thirdly, Jesus Christ died, paid your sin debt for you so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I said, Frank, I know what you're talking about. I believe I'm a sinner. I know if I died in my sins, I'd go to hell. And I know Jesus died for me. But what do I do now? He said, to apply salvation to your heart, you must have repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Repentance is basically just a change of mind, a change of heart. So you turn to God. When you turn to God, accept the Lord in your heart, God will forgive you, but thank God he'll deliver you from that old lifestyle. So instead of walking this direction, you'll start walking this direction. Instead of living for the devil, you'll start living for God. Instead of walking in the path of unrighteousness, you'll start walking the path of righteousness. And I said, well, that's what I want to do. I want to repent. And he said, you got to believe with your heart. The Bible says, of course, in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins might be blotted out. And that's what I wanted, my sins blotted out. And then he said, you just got to believe with your heart. In Romans chapter 10:9, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart God raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Before he finished, I was kneeling down beside my chair and I said, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me for all my sins. I ask you to come in my heart, my life, and save my soul. I said, Lord, I don't know all that's going on, but I give you my life in the name of Jesus. I went down a sinner, and thank God I come up a saint of God. So I got born again. I got saved. I remember that. Well, I had three older brothers, three younger sisters, mom and dad that were lost. So I'd go over to my mother's house, and I began to witness. And there for a little while, they listened to me. But as time went on, I'd go in the front door. Someone would go out the back door. Someone would go out in the garage. Someone would go in the back room, the bathroom. They was avoiding me like I had a plague. But the good thing about it was when it was time to eat lunch, guess who they asked to pray? I prayed through the Romans Road. I asked the Lord to save that crowd. Then I asked the Lord to bless the food in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, anyway, I was praying one day, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I've witnessed, and my family's avoided me, and I don't know what to do. And God spoke to my heart and said, the seed of God's word been planted. Now you soak it down in prayer. So I would. When I was at Tabernacle, there's a lot of the students there. I went to Bible college and graduated there. But a lot of students would pray with me about my lost loved ones. And so there's times I prayed at nighttime late. Sometimes I get up early and pray. I didn't do this all the time, but sometimes I prayed all night. As time went on, a few months went by, and my brother Robert called me up and says, David, I'm reading my Bible, but I don't understand it. So I'll be over there in a minute, and I hung up on him. So I drove over there, went over there, and he started underlining all the scripture verses in the Bible concerning being saved. And so he said, I want to do this by myself. I said, I don't have a problem with that. So I left, and he went to his bedroom, put his Bible there, called out to God, and asked God to have mercy, and asked God to save him. And he got saved by the grace of God. I remember that. I remember I was going over to my mother's house, and my mother was working, and so my sister Janet was there in the den. I was not witnessing to her. I was just talking. All of a sudden, she had tears in her eyes. I said, what's the matter? She said, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I opened up my New Testament Bible, began to witness to her, and she got saved. I remember that. My brother Gary drove a beer truck for Schlitz. That's what he did for a living. Well, I invited him to church with me. So guess what? He came Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for a whole month. Well, the end of the month, he drove that beer truck all day, was selling it, and went to this place and that place. But he was going to come to church, so he got cleaned up, got in his car, and his car wouldn't start. So the only way to get to church is to drive that beer truck to church. So anyway, I'm going to move a little bit, so television, I'll talk to you later. But anyway, so he come driving up in a beer truck. Had Schlitz Malt Liquor Bull on the side of that truck. So he come driving, and the only place he could find big enough for that truck, and it wasn't a tractor trailer or anything, but it was a box truck, he parked it right in front of the church. So the only way you can get in church is go around that beer truck, walk up the front steps, go in the front door. Well, somebody come, and I was going to Truth Missionary Baptist Church at that time, so somebody actually came to the preacher and said, preacher, you won't believe this, but someone drove a beer truck, parked it right in front of the church. You can't get in the church unless you go around that beer truck. He said, I don't know who it is. Maybe they'll get saved tonight. Well, the pastor preached a salvation message on a Wednesday night, and as soon as the invitation was given, my brother Gary left the back pew, and I was sitting on the third pew, and he come up like this. He said, I am so ready. So he took him in the back room. He called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved by the grace of God. And he came out of there, and I used to wear these pins. One says, Jesus saves. One says, Jesus loves you. One says, Jesus is Lord. Well, I happen to have the one Jesus is Lord on. So I took it off and put it on his coat. I said, Gary, wherever you go, you need to wear it. He said, I'll do it. Well, I didn't realize the next day he went to work. Had his uniform on, slits on this side, and Jesus is Lord on this side. So when he walked into the warehouse, when he walked in there, the manager says, what is this thing with Jesus is Lord? He said, you won't believe this. Can I talk to you a minute? He said, sure. He said, you won't believe this. I've been going to church the whole month. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Last night, God convicted me about my sin, and I truly repented and accepted the Lord into my heart, and that burden of sin was lifted, and I got saved by the grace of God. And every one of y'all need to get saved. Of course, about a week later, he got him a new job. Say amen right there. But I remember those things. And I don't know where you are spiritually, but never forget where God brought you from. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul is writing here, and I believe he gave us three things that we need to remember. Number one, remember those in bond, or remember the prisoner. Remember the prisoner. So verse 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds. When we think about bonds, we think about being captive or being in captivity. There's two types of prisoners. Prisoners for their failures or their sins, and prisoners for their faith. I think about the Apostle Paul. He's in prison not because of his failures, but because of his faith. Peter, not because of failures, but because of his faith. Jesus, not because of his failures, because he had none, but because of his faith. But you think about this. When a person is not saved, they're in prison to their self, to their sin, and to Satan. So whether you're on the inside of a prison or on the outside of prison, if a person is lost, they're in bondage. They're in bondage. Well, Paul's saying, remember those that are in prisons. Remember the prisoner. And I thought about this. Now, Paul said in Philemon, verse 10 and 11, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So you got here, you got one person, Paul, was in prison because of his faith. You got another man, Onesimus, that was in prison because of his failures. They got together, and thank God, he got saved. He got saved. Onesimus got saved. And then he said this, which in time past you were unprofitable, but now he's profitable. So remember the prisoner. The Bible says in Matthew 25 and verse 36, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Verse 40 says, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So thank you, church. I know y'all been supporting a ministry for a long time in prison. So thank you, church, for remembering the prisoner. Secondly, Paul said, remember the preacher. Remember the preacher. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 18, the salvation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, pray for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. I thought about this. Paul was in bonds because of an opportunity to open a door to preach the gospel. And I believe he was in prison because of his preaching of the gospel, and the people would not listen to it, and they put him in prison. But you know, Paul never really said he was a prisoner of Rome or a prisoner of man. He said he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians 6:20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. So Paul did not think of himself necessarily as a prisoner, but as an ambassador. Well, you know what an ambassador is, don't you? A representative of another country. A representative of a king of another country. So Paul was a representative of heaven, representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he asked them to pray that God would open up doors, not to take him out of prison, but God would open up doors. Philippian jailer got saved in a prison. Onesimus got saved in a prison. How would you like to be locked down in a prison and you're locked down with the Apostle Paul? I'm just telling you right now, he used it as an ambassador, and thank God for that. There's no way that we can go into prisons from one prison to another, drive about 40,000 miles a year, except for churches that remember the preacher. So remember the prisoner, remember the preacher. And then thirdly, Remember the power. Remember the power. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, when, or even under bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. Let me share this with you real quick. We were at a Columbia Care Center, and it's actually a hospital for inmates there in Columbia. And there's 7 units, and 1 unit have men on one side and ladies on the other, and they keep them separated, except they do have an activity room. So when they have a service, they let them come together, okay? And some of them had tables, some of them were just sitting in chairs. Well, this has been years ago, and of course my wife was with us just for the service, and the children was there. We have 4 children. They're all grown now. But anyway, Hannah would play the piano and the children would sing, and then I would preach. Well, you can't give an invitation as coming down to an altar. So I just asked anybody that's lost that they'd just lift up their hand and I would come to them. Well, one man raised his hand being lost. So anyway, I went there after the service and I began to witness to him. He was sitting at a table and there was a woman there, man there, woman on this side, and then he was there. Well, I got witnessing to him, and he realized he was lost, and he prayed. He called on God, repentance and faith, and got saved. Well, as soon as he said, in Jesus' name, amen, there's a woman right over there. She said, in Jesus' name, amen. I said, I looked up at her. She said, well, preacher, I didn't raise my hand, but I was lost, and I wanted to get saved too, so I asked the Lord to save me. The Word of God's not bound. I was at Broad River Correctional Institute, and we were there on a Sunday morning, and we were there, and it was a lockup unit. And while we were standing there, right there on the steps, and there's 2 floors, the first and the second, and they're the lockdown unit, they have metal doors there. And sometimes they'll open up the flap just so they can hear you, but they had trouble that morning, so they didn't open up the flaps. I don't have a real loud voice, but I was preaching as loud as I could, and God laid on my heart a message on you must be born again. And I got to thinking while I was preaching, I said, in my heart, I said, Lord, who's this message for? When I turned to my right, there was an officer sitting right there, and he was watching every move I was making, listening to every word that I was saying. And God said, that message is for him. So when I finished up, went over there, I said, sir, I said, you know what it means to be saved? He said, I'm not sure, said, but I think God's dealing with me. Opened up a Bible again to witness to him. He called on God, repentance and faith, and he got saved. The Word of God is not bound. So I thank the Lord for that. We were at a certain institution, and there was a fellow there on the outside, and he was a tall guy, and he was a big fellow, and he was real strong. And I'm short. I used to be real skinny when I was young. Paul remembered them days, but anyway, when I was skinny, that is. So anyway, I was up there, and I was witnessing this guy, and his name was Big Mo. And so I gave him I felt a little intimidated, honestly, I did. So I said, can I give you a gospel track? He looked at me and said, yeah, I'll take it. So I gave him a gospel track. So I got a handkerchief. You want it? He said, yeah, I'll take that too. So I gave it to him. I said, can I give you the gospel? He said, yeah, go ahead. So anyway, I began to witness to him. Well, we had to leave, so I couldn't finish up. I said, would you come to chapel tonight? He said, I'll think about it. So anyway, we had chapel, and there was about 200 men that were there. And I looked for him, but I didn't see Big Mo. Well, anyway, there's another preacher that was preaching, and I was, and the invitation was given. I was working the altar there, and I had several come forward, got saved. Someone just getting right with the Lord. Someone just praying. Well, I turned around, and Big Mo was standing right there. He said, "Finish what you was telling me out on the yard." So anyway, I began to witness to him, and he called on God and asked God to have mercy upon him, asked God to save him. Well, I gave him some discipleship material, got him on the Prisoner's Bible Institute. Well, when he was leaving, one of the chaplain's clerks said, you know who that is? I said, all I'll know is Big Mo. He said, he's one of the leaders of Islam on this yard right here. But he's been asking questions for a whole year, and our chaplain's been working with him. And we've been fasting and praying that he gets saved, and he got saved that night. The Word of God's not bound. Only God can do that. We were working with a fella. His name was his name was Gary. And Gary had tried to, we were in Mississippi at the time, Gary had tried to commit suicide. We had 4 days of service, and he would come to our service every morning, and we would deal with him in the altar. Well, finally, on that Thursday, he come down. All he can say is, I felt so guilty about my life and about my sin. But I know God can take that guilt away. So he knelt down right there and he prayed and asked God to have mercy upon him and asked God to save him. So he got saved that day. Aren't you glad God is able to save to the uttermost? So anyway, thank you, church, for remembering the prisoner. Thank you for remembering the preacher. And thank you for remembering the power. Let's turn to Isaiah 42, verse 7 real quick. And this is basically our ministry with Rock of Ages Ministry. And then we'll show that DVD. Isaiah 42 and verse 7. To open the blind eyes, Isaiah 42 and verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. We're not necessarily trying to get them out of prison. We are trying to get them out of the prison of sin, of Satan, and of self. So thank you, church, for remembering the prisoner. Thank you for remembering the preacher. And thank you for remembering the power. Let's pray, and then we can show that DVD. My Father, we are truly thankful for who you are and what you've done in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for saving our souls. We thank you for just speaking to our hearts about giving us a fresh burden for the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. We thank you that we can remember where God brought us from. We also remember the prisoner. There's a reason why they're there. It's because of their sin. And then we think about remembering the preacher. Paul said, "Remember me." And we thank God for those that do remember us as missionaries who goes to the prisons and preach the gospel of Christ. And then remember the power. The word of God will never return void. The word of God is not bound. So Lord, thank you for a church that has a burden for souls. And thank you for all that you are and all that you do. And we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll show that DVD and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. State of South Carolina, we have 29 state institutions and one hospital that we work. We also work DJJ, Department of Juvenile Justice, and working with the revival team here in South Carolina, we have an opportunity to travel from one institution to another. We have an opportunity to witness to men, women, boys, and girls right there in lockdown, right there on death row, right there in the general population. And we just have an opportunity to witness to them one-on-one during the day.
You think about preparation coming to a place like these prisons. I want to thank God for what he's done to allow us to come. You just don't come to a prison and say, "I'm coming in to talk to these men or women or juveniles." But it's God that's allowed it to happen. And we want to thank God for that and thank the chaplains and the wardens that allow us to come.
As senior chaplain here at Kirkland Reception Evaluation Center, it's really a privilege and honor to tell you about Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. They've been coming here for the last 10 plus years. We've seen thousands of men saved. A lot of work done, a lot of counseling, a lot of intense, in-depth ministry with the men on the Shard.
We come praying, and we've read up and got the message that we feel that God's laid upon our heart to give to these men and these women and these children, and we try to do our best to give them what thus saith the Lord.
Remember the prisoner. I want to say this. I was a prisoner before I was saved. I was a prisoner to sin. I was a prisoner to self. And I was a prisoner to Satan. Amen? We're all prisoners in that area.
I've been locked up 10 years now, and it wasn't up until about maybe 4 years ago that I really pursuing Christ. It was after my grandson's death that it took a tragedy for me to really start seeking the Lord.
We bring in literature. A man has a temper. We've got literature for that temper. Temptation material for these men that have temptations in their life. Different kinds of material to help these men to do what they need to do. One thing we do, we take Bibles into the prisons so they can have the Word of God in their hands. It's a study Bible. Many times the men ask for Bibles with some helps in them, and so this Bible's been designed to help those inmates while they're there in the cells by themselves to have something to help them with.
Here in South Carolina on a revival team, we have the great opportunity to go on cell-to-cell visitation as we go from prison to prison. Each revival, we'll have 3 to 4 hours of visitation where we'll go from one cell to the other, handing out gospel tracts, literature, we hand out handkerchiefs, and give out Bibles to those that were saved by the grace of the Lord.
Okay, you just go ahead and pray out loud, and ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, ask the Lord to come to your heart, and ask the Lord to save you, and then basically just tell the Lord you want to give your life to Him, okay, in Jesus' name. So go ahead.
Dear God, I want to come to you. I want to tell you I know I'm a sinner. But I ask you to forgive me for my sins. Dear God, I pray from my heart. I want to be saved. In Jesus' name I pray.
Some 29 institutions here in this state, almost 24,000 men and women behind the walls of prison today.
All right.
Wonderful, wonderful. We were the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I'm glad the Rock of Ages is there to show them that somebody cares about them, that somebody loves them enough to come spend time with them, hand them a gospel tract, and let them know that somebody loves them enough to give them a gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is to be present with the Lord. That means that when you die one day, as soon as you die, listen, you're going to be present if you're saved with the Lord. And if you're not saved, you go to a place called hell without God. But I'm glad, thank God, today I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad I know Him and He knows me. I'm glad for that today.
When I finished up, I went over there and began to talk to him. I said, "Sir, are you saved?" He said, "No, sir, I'm not." And I said, "Can I show you how to get saved?" He said, "I wish you would." Well, brother, he got saved right then. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God's not bound. Amen. You can be preaching to one person. God will use that same message to deal with someone else's heart. Believe with all your heart, God raised him from the dead. The Bible says, "Thou shalt be what?
Saved."
Isn't that good? Right here says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Good. But see, it's one thing to have a head knowledge, but it's another thing to have a heart knowledge.
But you have to accept what he's done. That's like me paying for a brand new car for you. You've got to accept that you'll take it from me. Call upon and pray to God. The Bible said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Did it say thou might be saved? It says thou shalt be saved. That's a promise.
When we're finally finished with this time, then he can use us in a new and in special way in order to fulfill his work in here as well as in the world. And maybe, become better fathers, husbands if we're able, sons, and, be an asset to the community.
It's been a real blessing to be a volunteer with the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. I know God's the one that does all of the saving, but I appreciate the opportunity to get to lead guys to the Lord and see men and women both being saved. We do work with the women's prison as well, too,
If you have a desire to be a volunteer, this would be a grand opportunity to contact the Rock of Ages, go to the prisons in your area, and minister there, leading souls to the Lord, seeing folks get saved, get born again into the family of God.
It was a great day in my life when David Roth came my way and recruited me to go with him into the prisons. And there I've seen, I suppose, hundreds of inmates ask Jesus Christ to come into their heart and be their personal Savior.
I'm a pastor, and I'm here to help with the Rock of Ages as a volunteer. I've been doing this now for about 10 years with going into different prisons in different states, and we try our best to help when we can. I like to support them because this is a worthwhile ministry, and I can trust the Rock of Ages.
I got put in prison in 1980 for drugs. I grew plants and drank a lot. It was real hard because I was looking for something, and I thought it was, I know what it was, it was Jesus, but I was looking for stuff in alcohol and drugs. That's how I know Jesus changed my life, because they say all things become new, and they do. He's wonderful. And I just thank him for changing my life and all he's done for me. I just can't thank him enough.
I walk into a room at a prison hospital, and I had an opportunity to talk to an elderly man about 69 years old. This man was religious, but he was lost. I had an opportunity to open up my Bible and begin to witness to him about the grace of Almighty God. This man didn't have peace in his mind. This man didn't have peace in his heart. He was one troubled man. He realized he was lost and undone. He realized he needed the Savior. He bowed his head. He called on God in repentance and faith and asked the Lord Jesus to come into his heart, come in his life, and save his soul. And I gave him some verses concerning assurance of salvation. He began to smile, and he was just satisfied that he was going to meet God one of these days. As I looked down there at his hospital bed, I realized he had no legs, he had no feet. I realized that one day he's going to have a brand new glorified body, and he's going to have legs and he's going to have feet. I'm so glad I had an opportunity to witness that man, and I'm so glad he got saved by the grace of God.
As the South Carolina representative for Rock of Ages, our goal is to reach every prisoner in our South Carolina prisons that we possibly can. And we do that by going and witnessing one-on-one. We also have an opportunity to do discipleship. And then we have our services. We have a great opportunity in our services to preach the gospel. And we preach, and we see many saved. And a lot of them come down brokenhearted, calling on the Lord for salvation, looking for hope. And I'm glad we got that message of hope. Also, we help them, encourage them, strengthen them, pray for them and their families. And so we have a wonderful opportunity to be able to reach so many for the Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you for your prayer support. We want to thank you for your financial support. So you're a big part of our ministry. We're laborers together with God in this great ministry of souls. And we just want to say thanks.
Your heart, didn't it? Warmed my heart and reminded that God is still saving people. He still wants to save people. So we'll be talking to him about what we can do and help, and appreciate you coming and appreciate you sharing with that. Let's be praying for those people. God's not willing that any should perish, including those people. And sometimes that type of person we want to shun, kind of get away from them because stay away from the bad element. Those are the ones that need the gospel. And God's in the business of saving sinners. So thank you, brother, for sharing that. Well, we'll close in prayer, and then we will. Is there anything that we need to know before we go into? There's some preparation there. Okay, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll ask that if you can help take the hymn books that are in your rows, and you can bring them to the aisles, and then we'll have some people come along and collect those hymn books, and then probably if you are not able to